Son of man, set thy face toward the south. Drop thy word toward the south. Prophesy against the forest of the south field. And say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee. Every dry tree, the flaming flame, shall not be quenched. And all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? Parables? Yes. But boy, you can understand these kind of parables, can't you? Huh? A fire. Flaming flame. That's a self-explanatory parable. Amen? I know. I've had them come to my house and knock on my door, and we'd open up the Bible to Luke 16, where the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And they'd say, that's just a parable. Amen. Now, fire is fire. I don't care what kind of attachment you put on it. We understand burning, don't we? Amen. I mean, we understand flaming flame. That's what he said. Flame would be strong enough, but he said flaming flame. We might say a roaring fire. Amen. Shall not be quenched. John the Baptist said that he'd come to send fire on the earth. Or Jesus said, I come to send fire on the earth. What will I if it be already kindled? I don't think he's forgot Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 45 through 49. Let's read some more in 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem. That's where he spent so much grace. Jerusalem. So much of the holy word. Jerusalem. Holy men walk there. Jerusalem. Thy word toward the holy places. And prophesy against the land of Israel. And say unto the land of Israel, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee. I'll draw forth my sword out of his sheath, and cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Woe. Woe. It's going to get so bad after a while. Nobody's going to escape. Not even the righteous. Not even the repentant sinner that takes a turn to change his mind and attitude toward God. He'll just save his soul. He won't escape the judgment. He said, I'll cut off the righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I'll cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Parable? You can understand that, can't you? Two times now he said, the righteous and the wicked. Amen. Therefore shall my sword go forth out of its sheath against all flesh. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 said, they shall not escape. It'll come on all the world. And they shall not escape. Listen to this. All flesh from the south to the north. Nobody gonna get away. God's last judgments. That all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of his sheath, and it shall not return anymore. You don't understand that? Hey, it's plain as the headlines on your newspaper. Fact is, us sweet little positive Christians today don't want to understand it. We don't want no preacher preaching it neither. Amen. No. No, no, no. Sigh therefore, son of man, with the breaking of thy loins. And with bitterness, sigh before their eyes. Ezekiel was one of those walking, talking object lessons. Everything he did was a portrayal of future judgments. It shall be that when they say unto thee, wherefore sighest thou? And thou shalt answer, for the tidings. Because it cometh, and every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. And behold, it cometh, and shall be brought to pass, saith the Lord. Amen. Oh, you say, Brother Collins, that was a prophecy against Israel for their backsliding, and that happened a long time ago. Then read in Matthew 24 that there shall come a time of trouble such as there never was from the beginning of time. Hey, go ahead. Amen. Relegate the prophecies of Ezekiel to some time past when God judged Israel. But add to it about 100 times over, and the great tribulation will be worse than that. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy, and say, Thus saith the Lord, say a word, a sword is sharpened, and also furbished. God's whetting his glittering sword, shining it up. Amen. Furbishing it. The fellow at Middletown, Brother Setzer, told me about that sold shotguns at a reasonable rate, and I went up to see him one day and bought one from him, I guess. Amen. And he had a bunch of knives there. And those knives were so bright. I said, how in the world you get a knife to shine that bright? He said, I buffed them. You buff that steel until it'll almost mirror. Amen. God's buffing his sword. Getting ready. It shall be given, and he hath given it to be furbished, polished. Amen. That it may be handled. The sword is sharpened and it is furbished to give into the hand of the slayer. Cry and howl, son of man. And so Ezekiel tunes up. And he cries and howls until Whitefield would have paled in front of him, probably. One woman followed Whitefield from street corner to street corner. 5 times she listened to him preach. And finally she cried out, Brother Whitefield, how can you do it? 5 times I've heard you preach. 5 times I've heard you weep for the souls of men. She was impressed by George Whitefield's tears. He had a high voice. Amen. He could bellow loudly. They checked him one time and said you could hear him for a mile. Amen. If the wind was right, they said, somebody said, you could hear him for 5 miles. George Whitefield, weeping for the souls of men. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, if you've tried everything and it don't work, try tears. A preacher stood by the bedside of a family of someone who was terminal. He lost words. He didn't have anything to say. All he could do was stand there and weep. He just broke down and cried with the family. He apologized, but somebody told him, "You probably done more good than you would have any other way." Amen. It may be time to cry in hell, "Son of man, for it shall be upon my people." Who? My people. "It shall be upon all the princes of Israel. Terrors by reason of the sword shall be upon my people." Ezekiel's already in captivity. Judgment's already come. But here God's telling Ezekiel as he sits with the captives by the river, God's telling Ezekiel, it's going to get worse. Why can't you be positive, Ezekiel? He cannot but speak the things which he has seen and heard, that which God gives him. Amen. Listen, he said, "Because it is a trial, and what if the sword contemn? Even the rod, it shall be no more, saith the Lord God. Thou therefore, son of man, prophesy, and smite thy hands together. Let the sword be doubled a third time. The sword of the slain, it is the sword of great men that are slain, which entereth into their private chambers. I have set the point of the sword against all their gates, that their heart may faint, that their ruins be multiplied. Ah, it is made bright. It is wrapped up for the slaughter." Amen. Amen. "Go thee one way or the other, either the right hand or on the left, whither thy face is set, I will..." Preacher's mad at them people. Amen. If it had been me that said it, he had thought I was mad. Amen. "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Also thou, son of man, appoint thee two ways, that the sword of the king of the Babylon may come. Both twain shall come forth out of one land. And choose thou a place. Choose it at the head of the way to the city. Appoint a way that the sword may come to Rabbath of the Ammonites and to Judah in Jerusalem. The defense for the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver." Think of it. God's people who one time knew how to pray have fallen victim to a wicked king, amen, that consults images and looks into the liver to get his signs for battle. Witchcraft. "At his right hand was a divination for Jerusalem, to appoint captains, to open the mouth and slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gate, to cast them out, and to build a fort. Jerusalem wouldn't get by." Jerusalem didn't get by. And America won't get by. No. It's too late. It's too late in the day. Amen. The heart of the sons of men in this fair land and across this fruited plain are fully set in them to do evil. Most won't give church a thought tomorrow, much less on Saturday night. Amen. They won't get away. Oh, and the church has watered down its message so badly, or so much, it is so diluted and so weak that it don't change most of the folks that fill its pews. What's going to happen to a church that ought to know better? Amen. They're going to have more judgment. More severe. Hell will be hotter. The fire will burn brighter. Amen. For preachers that know better and don't do better, and for people in the church that know better and don't do better, they want you to preach positive. Amen. But after a while, mercy will grow weary. Amen. We live in a wonderful time right now. All you have to do is open the Old Testament just about any place, and you'll find the curse running rampant. All through the Old Testament, all through the prophets, no matter which one you read, it's curse after curse after curse. But 2,000 years ago, the Son of God was nailed to a tree. And when He was, He destroyed the curse for all that will call upon His name. I'm glad to tell you tonight there's escape. I'm glad to tell you tonight there is a way out. I'm glad to tell you tonight there's a way through. Amen. And the door starts at Calvary. It opens wide at the cross. Amen. You can be blood washed and have a new lease on life and a new lease upon the future. Did you know that the rebuke of the curse is as simple as this? Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. Hey, there's some folks that's going to escape. There's some folks that's going to make their escape. Amen. Jesus promised in Luke 21, He said, pray ye therefore that ye may be accounted worthy to escape those things which shall come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. Things are coming on this world shortly that cause Ezekiel and Jeremiah, the weeping prophet with his prophecies and lamentations, and Isaiah and Hosea and all the rest of them to pale. A time of trouble such alike there's never been before, never shall be thereafter. But tonight I'm glad to tell you there's a way through. Praise God. That's why we have revival. That's why mercy's door is open wide tonight. That's why God continues to tarry. Amen. He holds back the glittering sword. Holds back hosts of angels that are ready to attack. He holds back the fire. Amen. It is ready to burn across the earth and shall not be quenched. He holds it back. Praise God. And as He pushes it back, it's because there's some people calling on the name of the Lord. He said, I can't do it yet, Michael. I can't do it yet, Gabriel. I can't do it yet, boys. Because somebody is restraining. Somebody is holding it back. Praise God. Well, I tell you, the people of God that call on the name of the Lord, they're the hope of the land. They're the hope for tomorrow. They're the hope for any future that we might have. And did you know, almost the world over, they're the least appreciated of anybody. They're hated and despised and rejected of men. Amen. Oh, yes. But now, amen, pretty quick, the world's going to see how important the church was. They're going to see what the church was really doing. Amen. He who now letteth will let. He who now restrains will restrain. He who now holds back will hold back until he be taken out of the way. That quick, they're going to be gone. Quick, you can snap your fingers, Lawrence Bailey. They're going to be gone. Praise God. In the twinkling of an eye, they're going to be gone. Tonight, we're still here. Tonight, we can pray. Tonight, we can weep for souls like Whitefield, Wesley, and Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. Amen. Tonight, we can weep and cry out to God when it'll do some good. I, for one, have just one thing to say to our generation. We better make the most of it. Let's come around the altar and let him hear your voice on high. Call on God. Hallelujah.